I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. There's a fantastic new documentary that'll be playing at the Vancouver International Film Festival. It's called Hue, A Matter of Color. It's a moving, thoughtful, and terribly interesting look at skin color. It's a sort of about racism, but it's not racism, I should say, but it's about pigmentation and how it's reacted to throughout the world, chiefly the film's director, who explores his own past and upbringing, and various cultures around the world where there is discrimination within racial groups based solely on color. This isn't discussed in the film, but there are always discussions about Barack Obama based on his skin color from within the black community as to whether or not he's in fact black enough. In the movie, Vic Seren, who joins me now, starts off in Brazil, a country he likes because they seem not as hung up on skin color, where Brazilians range in various shades. He digs below the surface to illustrate some of the tensions and the underlying discrimination that does occur. He goes to the Philippines, where he meets a woman who's built an empire selling skin whitening products. He visits Tanzania, where albinos often face death because they're lighter skinned. In India, Mr. Seren looks at his own childhood, as well as the struggle of darker skinned brides to find husbands, because men seemingly prefer lighter-skinned ones. In South Africa, hate and skin color are discussed amidst the context of apartheid and beyond. I'll ask Vic Seren about the impetus to make a personal movie as he has, and the sort of dialogue he'd like to begin on colorism and color discrimination. Vic Seren is a prolific award-winning filmmaker who directed films such as A Shine of Rainbows and Partition, which he also wrote. As a highly regarded cinematographer, his credits include Heartaches, Loyalties, Bye Bye Blues, and Margaret's Museum. Hue, A Matter of Color, has two more screenings, Tuesday the 1st of October 2013 at 4:15 at SFU Woodward's, and Friday the 11th of October at 10 a.m. at the Van City Theater. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Vic Seren. Mr. Seren, good morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Thanks. Good morning to you, too.
Thanks for joining us. This is, as I said to you before we started, just a wonderful film. Why did you decide to make a movie and sort of have you as part of it?
Well, you know, there's a time and a place for everything else. And I had this idea for a long time, and I just wanted to explore that because there is a certain sense of, you know, finger-pointing on many people of color, you know, towards the Caucasian people and all that. And so I always felt, yeah, perhaps there is some honesty there, but what about they themselves? It's over the years, you know, I've seen that it's very easy to point fingers on others, but we never look at ourselves, our own behavior. And our own behavior in that context is murky, and again, not what I say, is the evidence, and the evidence is exactly what I presented in the film. And of course, I knew that from my own upbringing, so I knew that the culture I grew up with had a similar, you know, view of skin color. So I thought it would be nice to do something on that, but initially I was not sure if anyone will be interested to know that, especially living in the Western world. But to my surprise, the film board, they asked me to do something for them. They said, would you like to do, do you have any idea of a film you'd like to do? And I said, well, I have this idea about taking a look at it, and the colorism, you know, and the kind of prejudice which exists among the same, you know, cultural background, same race of people. So they liked this idea a lot, to my surprise, which I didn't think that they would like that idea, but they really loved the idea. They said, well, why don't you go to... So this is how the whole thing came about. And then they felt that I should be one of the characters in the film, which I must tell you that I wasn't sure that I wanted to do that. Simply, you know, I'm a man behind the camera, not in front of the camera. I'm not quite inclined to go that way. So that was a bit of a difficult call for me to do. Shall I do that or not? So for a few months, I thought about that, whether it's necessary for me to go in front of the camera. But then more and more I thought about that, more I realized that it was necessary to do that, only because if I want to go to people who I, to the strangers, in a sense, all across the globe, and ask them to invite me in and show me their closet, it's necessary that I share with them my own journey as well. on a very personal level. So I think that's how the whole thing came about. The film board initiated that, and our own producers in-house, Tina and Kim Roberts, they supported me, and then I thought, well, why not? So we embarked on this journey.
Now, so for people listening to us, is colorism, is color discrimination, is that the same thing as racism?
Well, as I say in the film, too, the line's a little blurred. Basically, it's prejudice among the human race based on the color of your skin. Though colorism really is not about racism. It's about in the same ethnic group of people, they have this discrimination against each other, or this I call consciousness, not a discrimination. It's the preference of consciousness they have of lighter skin within the same ethnic group. That is colorism. Racism really is probably developed more from colonization. It was much more the dark-skinned people versus the Europeans or the Caucasian race. So they're two very different scenarios because they're two different races. Here we're talking within the same race.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
So why do you think it is that we're so conscious of color and sort of light or white even is much better, it's fairer?
Well, I think, I'm having a bit of difficult times to analyzing why. I personally feel that this is something nature has given us, believe it or not. And again, it's not what I think and what I feel, but it's the evidence. And evidence is very strongly there that even from nature, we prefer mornings and days. We go to sleep in nighttime.
Yeah.
Darkness means you go to sleep. In our vocabulary, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Light has been always associated with life and joy. And this came from nature. It didn't come from any of us. And then also, if you go back in time, ever since, I can think of the literature or the poetry or the poems or, paintings, always have gravitated towards lightness. It's nothing to do with colonization. I think colonization might have triggered and brought this subject more in the forefront, and more people became more conscious of it because the contrast was there between the skins. But I think this has been there for a very, very long time, this desire to be of a lighter skin.
The people that you talk to in the film, I mean, you go all over the world. I mentioned some of the countries that you go to, and you meet individuals there. How did you come across them?
It wasn't easy. One of the most difficult things was, in this case, was how to find these people. But fortunately, with the internet and having some good researchers with me, and of course, over the years, I have traveled quite a bit. I have traveled extensively in the world, lived in many places too. So that really helped me a little bit because I had a certain notion of that, where to go and where I wanted to go. But still, you had to really approach. And, there were times I wanted to follow certain characters. It just didn't quite work out for a number of reasons. Time and money, of course, is always one, but also it wasn't quite as appropriate for what I wanted to do. I wanted to do a film about not how you think, but how you feel about this. Yes, thinking is important, and there is always a good marriage between thinking and feeling it. But I really wanted to zero in here, in this particular case, about your own emotional journey.
The guy in Brazil that you talked to, he's a sanitation worker. He seems like from watching him on screen, such a nice guy, warm guy, extremely articulate.
Mm-hmm.
Had you known him before you did the
film?
No,
I never met him. I just, none of these people, I knew them before. I totally from instinct, and why not?
Because it seemed like the two of you were really good friends.
No, I had never seen him before.
Yeah.
And what happened that I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
The person,
yeah.
And because I can relate to his character very clearly because he grew up with that kind of a, you know, consciousness and feeling the need, that wish he wasn't there. But he did something positive with his weakness.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot. Well, we all, you know, going to die one day. We know that. So what? Let's do what we can do, what we have. And this is exactly what he was very inspiring to me. That even he had a lot of those, you know, shortcomings, but he did something with the short and made something interesting out of his life. The positive kind of a steps of a positive attitude which he took, which I just love. And I, in a sense, bit of that, I have it too. I did not just, you know, say, well, okay, you know, they don't like me, or I have a dark skin, so I'm going to go to sleep. No, that actually, in some sense, it gave me that drive, I guess, to find my passion, which I do movies, of course, and excel in it. So it's not all negative. Sometimes some kind of a deficiency or some kind of a consciousness, which is negative one, actually gives you a ammunition to drive forward. And this is what he had, and this is what I sort of connected with him on that level.
So for people that haven't seen the film, obviously, he's a dark-skinned Brazilian, right?
Well, he's basically very black.
Yeah,
you know that. And
yeah.
He's a sweeper. And, you know, at initial life, he had, you know, looked down because he was too dark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not going to do anything, and they don't want him, you know, all that stuff. But look, he took a job as a sweeping streets of Brazil, and look where he is today.
Yeah.
What a journey. But that's very inspiring for me.
Yeah.
So it's not be-all, end-all, that doom and gloom. No. From some time of these kind of setbacks, you excel. And I think we all have the potential, but not just him, we all have that.
From a young age, you talk about your story there, that darker colors weren't encouraged. Like, you loved the sun, but you were told by your mom, you can't be in the sun that long. But before I pursue that point, you have some film from, India from the past, even Toronto from the past. Where did you get those?
They were shot, because I'm in the business, so, you know, somebody grabbed a shot of me, you know, when I was with my first wife. It was just lying someplace. I found that in my little first child, you know. So they were all in archive kind of thing, you know.
And, really?
And some of the stuff CBC shot it. I was in CBC for a long time.
Yeah.
For 24 years I worked for them in Toronto, so they were, and I did a lot of work for them. So, you know, they did a promo of me at work many years ago. So that promo came a little handy to get free shots from them.
Now, so you talk about your own upbringing, as a child and sort of the reaction that you had to color and the sort. Your own children, their mothers are white.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that they've thought about themselves?
No. It was to be, no, they do not have any such conscience. Partly for two reasons. A, they grew up here, they're
uh-huh.
born here, so they have no idea of the world out there. And I never, you know, spoke or mention of anything like that to these people, my kids. They are treated and just like anyone else here. And of course, their mother is from here, so they are not subjected to that at home at all, or even outside. But I wanted to make this film not because I thought they are going to suffer, which of course you never know down the road how they will be treated, which of course how much is reality outside, how much is in their mind, all that. I am not quite sure how they will react. But what I want to do was to make this film so they have some sense of their own father. Because at times they think, or they thought, that I'm a bit odd, that I don't quite act like the other fathers do. And why I do that, you know what I mean? So I thought maybe this film will give them a bit of a window to my own behavior. Not that they're going to say it's okay, but at least they'll understand that.
And
the same thing like the window I wanted to have in my own parents,
uh-huh.
which I never got a chance. they just left too early. You know, I always wanted to know, you know, I'd like to know my mom and dad too. What were their aspirations? What were their dreams? Why did they felt this way? But, you know, I never got a chance. So here I'm a bit more conscious now because I'm an older person now.
So what happened then? I mean, obviously you had to do this now. Could you have done this, say, earlier? I mean, something must have changed in your life, right?
Well, no, I think always there comes a time when you feel strongly about these issues, you know, and depending what stage of life you're at. At my stage, and I'm in 60 now, and so it's, and they are still quite young, it's quite natural for me to feel that I have to say something to them so they have some understanding of that. I think it's time of my life, I think it has to do with that. And the opportunity, you know, opportunity was here now. It came my way, so why not?
Have they seen the movie?
Oh, yeah. I think, I'm not sure they've seen completely, but they've seen bits and pieces, I think.
Yeah. Of all the places that you went to in the movie, was Tanzania the most moving?
Well, it's the most difficult subject to believe in the year 2013.
Yeah.
That this is existing, you know, this practice is existing. That was hard to comprehend, you know, how far we have gone in this issue or this desire, you know. So that was a bit of a shock, but also very, very upsetting. And then you also feel impotent at the same time, that wish you can do something, but what can you do? What you can do is bring it to the forefront as other people are doing it. And there's a gentleman, actually, Peter Ash, who's championing this whole issue, and he's taking a huge steps trying to eradicate this problem in Africa. And he's from BC, from Canada.
Oh, really?
So yeah. I'm so proud of Peter that he's gone out, and he's doing something about it. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. What's the key to ending this? I mean, can it be ended?
Personally, I think it's on. I'm very optimistic. I think it's starting to. It's getting better, and how it's going to get better is when the economic levels of the peoples are lifted, which is happening in China. You've seen the huge strides. India, you've seen some strides. Brazil, of course, we know that. And I was in Africa quite a bit. Same thing in Africa. So the whole world, and Philippines, same. The whole world seemed to be economically starting to do better and better and better. People have more food and they have a shelter and all that. So once economically they become more independent and politically they become more freer, which we have seen the uprising all through the Middle East and all that. Once those two things comes into play, which they are, people are going to develop more self-confidence. And their self-confidence, you know, you will be still conscious of it, but it won't matter anymore. And I think we are going towards that, and as I said in the film too, maybe one day we will be all mixed.
Yeah.
And seem to be, I mean, the three quarters of the world is now people of color now. It's only one quarter left on the other side, so we'll be maybe all the same one day, you know.
You ask a very powerful question in the film with regards to your own life, about you've been married twice, both of your wives, are white, is that right?
Caucasian, yes.
Yeah, Caucasian. You ask yourself in the film whether it was because of, say, whatever you grew up with that mm-hmm. white was better,
mm-hmm.
or do you think it was because you wanted to, say, have, you know,
I think in my case, as I said in the film too, partly the circumstances, because the time I was here, there was hardly any, single girls of my cultural background around. At least I don't remember meeting or seeing anyone that time. But I think partly it could be that it was ingrained in me that the lighter person to have will benefit me, not only in a physical terms that it'll be more attractive in my mind, but also as a status quo, you know, in the society I'm living in, you know what I mean? So I think that, as I said in the film too, the truth lies maybe someplace in the middle, someplace. Maybe it's both are justified in my mind.
Now, other than making a movie for your kids so that they'll know about you, I mean, you do want to start a conversation about this. I mean,
absolutely. I think the real reason doing this film is about so that people are openly and not to be embarrassed about talking about these things. In Canada, we are so political conscious of so many things. We cannot go that way. We can talk about people's height. Yeah. We can talk about their weight. We can talk about the color of eyes and hair. But we can't talk about the color of their skin. Why? Well, because if you do, you'll be branded as racist. No. It's part of physicality. It's a question of how you see that in your mind. I don't see any different. If you're a brown person, you're a brown person. So what? If you're black, you're black. So what? But I don't treat you any differently as a society goes, as I'm emotionally concerned. You're as good to me as anyone else. So the question is that how you feel about inside yourself, and if you're secure with yourself, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think this branding and this political correctness has gone a little too far. In our society, where we are so just closed in on some of these issues, which I think should be come out in the open and discuss it, because quite often you'll find it's not the case. People are not branding you because of that, but you think that's what is happening. It's a misconception.
I read in the Georgia Strait that you're shooting in Kamloops right now, is that right?
Oh, did they tell you that? Yeah, I'm doing another film right now, yeah.
Can you tell us what that's about, or...?
Well, I did a movie last year, a television movie. They came to us to do it, and I did that. And fortunately, the film did very well for them, and this American network. So I've done, this is my third one, and that they asked us two more to do, so I'm doing third one now. And it's a television movie. It's sort of a thriller aspect, but I tend to move it towards more on a human issues.
Yeah.
This is what I like to grab, I mean, you know, make more films about, rather than car chases and murders and killings and all that.
Yeah.
So this is the third one we're doing it, and I'm having a wonderful time, because lovely actors, and, you know, there are movies beginning, middle, and the end, so why not?
Yeah. Well, let's hope that this conversation on skin color doesn't end. And it's just such a beautiful movie, Vic, gorgeously shot, and a wonderful exploration of these issues. Congratulations on it. Good luck with the movie.
Well, I'm so happy to hear, because movies are made for people. It's not for me. And if I hear that it did something for someone, I think that, to me, is the music.
Yeah, indeed. You're very welcome. The movie's called Hue, A Matter of Color. It screens October 1st and October 11th at the Vancouver International Film Festival, viff.org. Its director, Vic Sarin, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Fonta.